Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What is up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to go through some of the dumbest tweets from last week, as we do every Friday on Dumb Bleep of the Week on our show, Good Morning Liberty, which you can find every day of the week on your favorite podcast app, or by going to BernieLies.com. We were just on a live group, the Fed Haters Club, that we went and saw Anthony Jeselnik last night at the Ryman. It was really good. If you like that kind of thing, warning, it's a joke.
They get so nervous about other people.
I was uncomfortable.
He was nervous about the people in there that bought tickets to go see him.
But you know that some guy brought his girlfriend or his wife or whatever, who showed her the funniest, most PC joke that he had, and was like, oh, hey, let's go see this guy.
We walked in with a couple, and she was pregnant, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't sit very far from us. And there was a lot of...
The first 20 minutes were jokes about how much he hated pregnant women.
And kids.
And kids. I felt uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. Okay? I did.
I laughed even more knowing they were sitting like a few rows in front of us to the right.
But whatever.
It was so good.
Okay, well, this is Friday. And we do Dumb Bleep of
the Week.
Also,
we weren't allowed, there's no clips or anything. We weren't allowed to have our phones out.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to even take a picture. You weren't even allowed to have your phone out.
Can't.
They said that if they saw your phone light up, even if it was innocent, like you dropped it on accident or something, they would eject you. And there's no refunds.
Good thing I never dropped mine.
Yeah. So Nate and I basically had to sit on our phones all night. So
yeah.
Not even the live group gets a preview.
There's no way that I'm currently editing a recording of the entire show.
Yeah. It wasn't possible.
I'm not doing that because they said you couldn't do it.
Right.
All right. Well,
there were signs.
There were signs that said it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is Dumb Bleep of the Week, where we talk about the dumbest things that happened over the last week. The live group threw in submissions. We threw in submissions. People on Twitter or X throw in submissions. So go follow us there, and you can also throw them in that way. You can join the live group by going to joingml.com and be a member of the Fed Haters Club. Those are the people that get to vote for which one of these is the dumbest and push it forward to Dumb Bleep of the Year. The winner gets a trophy. All right. Everyone knows the rules. It is now time to commence the dumb. As usual.
What? So proper.
As usual.
Now that everyone knows the rules,
we will commence. We start off like kind of less dumb, like easier, you know? Mm. We want to ease you in to the dumb. And like a libertarian in boiling water, you guys know how the analogy goes. Eventually, you're going to die. This is an article from the editorial board in the Washington Post. I don't know if everyone knows this, but Kevin McCarthy, I always want to call him Mike McCarthy, but that's on the weekends. Kevin McCarthy has announced the official impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden. All right. This means they get to use all of their investigatory powers and subpoena people and get them under oath and get all these testimonies. Then they're going to vote. Maybe the House is going to vote to impeach, and then the Senate's not. And then that's going to be what we do next year, while there's also a trial and a trial and a trial and a trial going on for Donald Trump.
And what we're going to do for every president from here on out.
And that is what this article is about. It's just kind of funny how they word it. The title is McCarthy's Impeachment Inquiry Will Go Nowhere, But It's Still a Crisis. Speaker Kevin McCarthy might believe it's harmless to formally launch an impeachment inquiry, and the President Biden throwing chum to his right flank makes it easier for him to hold the speakership. So this is, you know, he's worried about people kicking him out. If the House ultimately votes to impeach the president, McCarthy also knows Democratic-controlled Senate would never muster the two-thirds threshold necessary to oust Mr. Biden from the office, but the inquiry Mr. McCarthy announced this week is not costless. He's helping to create a new norm. of tit-for-tat retaliation in which every president could face impeachment whenever the opposing party controls the House.
He started it.
In doing so, he's cheapening a vital constitutional remedy that should be reserved for severe abuses of power and wasting precious legislative time.
Yeah, like an event like Jan 6.
They do point out, however, that the Democrats are not blameless. Some on the far left tried to impeach George W. Bush on unreasonable grounds. Some Democrats also wanted to impeach Donald Trump practically from day one of his term, yet Pelosi held them back until firm evidence emerged in 2019, showing that Trump tried to shake down the Ukrainian President Zelensky by holding up military assistance to get Ukrainian government to announce an investigation into the Biden family. Mr. Trump's incitement of the January 6th insurrection also clearly passed the threshold for impeachment and conviction.
So they were right. Mm-hmm. Your inquiry's wrong.
Those had actual principle behind them. This is just a political move. It has nothing to do with all of this evidence that we have that there's some kind of Biden family corruption and Hunter getting paid all this money and 10% for the big guy, all that stuff. That's just, that doesn't matter. What matters is that Trump tried to withhold giving our money to Ukraine so they would investigate what was going on with the Bidens. Okay. Another thing that didn't matter was that Biden withheld money from Ukraine
so they would fire
a prosecutor. But that guy was corrupt, you see? And so they were trying to fire this corrupt prosecutor.
As long as you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. I don't know.
Then it passes muster.
And Biden's not corrupt. Therefore, trying to investigate what the Bidens were doing, well, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just a purely political impeachment. And then, of course, there's the incitement of January 6th clearly passes the threshold, even though he's been charged with 91 crimes and none of them are incitement because he clearly didn't incite January 6th legally anyway.
Yeah,
but that was at least enough
for
an impeachment.
When you tweet out, stay peaceful, go home, it's the same thing as stay and fight.
Peacefully and patriotically go down there. That's like go into the Capitol and
throw
and
flag
take sticks. A dump on someone's desk.
Yeah.
Essentially the same thing.
Deborah's desk.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. Gaslighting.
Like
yes, that's the warlock. That was right. A little bit of gaslighting right now. Like I said, we're going to start you off easy today because we're nice. We're nice guys. Another easy one.
Like
we already talked about. I forgot about that song. I had to listen to that. We already talked about this on Monday, I believe. Biden. And saying, never forget, never forget, never forget. And then he said something that he forgot, apparently, which is that he was not actually at ground zero on 9/11. But here's Biden saying that.
To renew our sacred vow, never forget, never forget.
Oh, what a...
We never forget.
Crap, what did I...
Each of us, each of those precious lives stolen too soon when evil attacked. Ground Zero in New York. And I remember standing there the next day and looking at the building. I felt like I was looking through the gates of hell. It looked so devastating because the way you could stand.
All right.
From where you could stand.
Where you could stand was in front of a TV in a different city.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Oh, never forget. We won't forget.
He wasn't there. Now, we'll slow it down just a little bit. This is Donald Trump's interview with Megyn Kelly, a specific clip that's been going around on the internet. You know, Trump was president when COVID started. You remember that?
He absolutely was.
And Fauci was up there with him like every day. They were up there talking about stuff, telling people what to do, what not to do. Bleach, no bleach, whichever one. This guy didn't care.
All right. Sunlight.
And so in this interview, Megyn Kelly, who's a great interviewer, has a great podcast also. Mm-hmm. I do listen to it sometimes.
Yep.
She was like, hey, you gave a presidential commendation to Fauci. A lot of people hate Fauci. And Trump, for, I don't know, honestly, one of the first times I've seen him do it, just kind of denied all responsibility. And was like,
that doesn't sound like Trump.
I don't know. What do you mean? Gave him press. I didn't do. Someone did. I wasn't.
Fire Anthony Fauci was because he'd been there for a long time. That you would have taken heat. That it would have created a firestorm. Quoting your words. Then for the first time in May,
I also said I didn't listen to him too much.
I'm getting there. But then in May, you started saying, well, he's a civil servant, so I couldn't technically. The truth is, though, not only did you not fire Fauci, who is loathed by many, many millions of Republicans in particular, but also some Democrats.
By the way,
you made him a star. You made him a star. This is the criticism of you, that you made him the face of the White House coronavirus task force.
You think so?
That he was out at every presser, that he was running herd for the administration on COVID, and that you actually gave him a presidential commendation before you left office. Wouldn't you like a do-over on that?
I don't know who gave him the commendation. I really don't know who gave him the commendation.
Presidential commendation. One went out to Mark.
Somebody promised.
It's a presidential commendation.
I don't know who gave it to him.
Check and see who the president is. Now, I know what he's saying. Do you think the president actually sits down at the desk and says, like, oh, here's a list of people I want to give a commendation to, this specific list of people? No. Probably not, you know, and he was on a list of a bunch of people, but
you think a staff member probably gave a list and was like, he's signed off on it without reading through it.
But I mean, he clearly knew Fauci was on that list. The context here that's been added from community notes is Trump is being disingenuous. On his last day in office, Trump awarded a presidential commendation to Fauci in recognition of his exceptional efforts on Operation Warp Speed. And so this is something that's been tricky for Trump because he is or was proud of Operation Warp Speed, where they got the vaccine out quickly. You know, they got that done really fast. And so he was kind of bragging about it. But then it turns out the people on the right didn't like the vaccine quite as much. And so that was difficult. And now,
so now he's in a kerfuffle.
It's a classic kerfuffle that he's in right now. If he doesn't go, I was wondering the other day if the people in the MAGA crowd are going to be like, you know, Fauci wasn't that bad. He wasn't that bad. Okay. He helped Trump out a lot. You know, he did what Trump told him.
You know what he could have done to win this? He could have replied back to Kelly and said, yeah, I should have done that. He's a liar.
Yeah.
And I wish I could go back and not give it to him. He lied to me.
Why not?
He lied to the
that?
American people.
Why not just say that?
You could literally place all the blame on him, take some responsibility and be like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I wish I could take it back. He's a liar.
Easy.
You know, that could have been. But instead, Trump, as any narcissist, can't take any responsibility for any. Nothing could ever be his fault.
You got to do that. You know, he could have said, you know, when I was in office, I was running things. I had control over it. I wasn't listening to what Fauci was doing. But when Biden took office, Fauci was running the show. And it turns out, you know, Fauci just wanted to do a bunch of bad things. And it's a good thing I was in there to hold him back the whole time. You know, he could have easily turned this into something. But
it got worse when I left.
It's like, oh, I didn't give him accommodation. Yeah. What are you talking about? Come on, just take responsibility, man.
Can't. No, Trump will never take responsibility.
Well, that's
anybody that loves him. Look, whatever. He is definitely a narcissist.
Yeah,
for sure. You know,
he was great on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
He's not the worst president I've ever seen.
No, some of his policies were great. But if you're expecting Trump to take any sort of responsibility, it's not going to happen.
Okay, Charlie, you being a parent.
And as the live viewer points out, ego.
Yeah.
Too much ego.
I mean, we talk about this all the time. People in government can't admit that they're wrong.
Yeah, he did the bump stock ban. He did some terrible things.
He did.
Did some good things. Did some terrible things. This is why we follow principle and not people.
I think he went a little overboard with the election stuff, honestly. He should have eventually acknowledged that, like, okay, Biden won the election, but can we just admit mail-in ballots creates some difficulty here. Mm-hmm. All right. And maybe we should talk about this in the future.
Okay. And to Bailey's point, he didn't even build the wall, which was his number one campaign promise. Yeah. And then what they did build, Mexico didn't pay for it.
Man, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm going to vote for him after that. Charlie, as a parent, how does this next headline make you feel?
It's a privilege, not a right, to know your kid's gender identity. Identity.
Identity. I heard that trail off. Out. I heard the trail off.
Yeah. It's a hard truth that some kids live with parents who are transphobic. No province should forcibly out gender nonconforming kids to these parents.
So if it's not your right.
What was that slippery slope we talked about a couple years ago? And yeah.
I don't know. You know, have we ever mentioned slippery slope?
So weird that it all starts to come to fruition right in front of your eyes.
It is really weird.
Like when you talked about it a couple of years ago, everyone thought you were crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. Being a libertarian.
Feel like they gaslight you into feeling like you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then it comes true.
Well, it comes true. I mean, what are you talking about? These people are right. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
We don't like kids. Being happy. So I will tell you, this one's a difficult one to go over because the headline was written by someone who didn't write the article. I will tell you that right now, which happens very often. But the headline doesn't really match the article. The title being "It's a Privilege, Not a Right to Know Your Kid's Gender Identity," that subject is not even approached in the article itself. Like, they just wrote it for the headline because they were like, ooh, I bet if I do this, I can get on Dumb Bleep of the Week from Good Morning Liberty. Like, that's what the editor was thinking. You know?
Exactly.
So, like,
it also says province, so this seems to be Canada.
I think it must be. Plus, yeah. It looks like a dumb Canadian-type logo up there. I don't know. And, like, the article just talks about how this is a parent of a transgender kid, and they're loving and accepting, and, you know, their kid's 11 and all that. And that's really it. And I guess the bottom line you're supposed to take away is if you're not loving and accepting of whatever your kid wants to do or be, then you don't have a right to decide this. And in fact, you don't have a right to even know what's going on in their life if you're someone who would not be accepting of what's going on in their life. And if it's a privilege and not a right, that means someone else has that right over your kid that they could bestow upon you. And who are they saying has that right? Probably the state, the school, or the
doctors,
state, the government, whoever
therapists.
Else. Not you. They all get to decide whether or not you have that right if you don't affirm your child.
The kids can't go on a field trip for school without the parent's signature.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't worry, we can chop your penis off, Zach, without parents' consent. In fact, your parents don't even have a right to know whether or not you want to penis.
Can't even crack open a can of alcohol. You know?
Yeah.
Unless it's Bud Light, I guess.
Can't drive.
No.
Can't vote. Can't have sex.
Can't.
Yeah.
But you can change your sex if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Can't buy scratch tickets. What else can't they do? Live group? Fed Haters Club?
Okay. I know it seems like we're moving really quickly, but
we're
about
to go back because we need to read a little bit of that because...
Okay. Go ahead.
The whole thing's dumb, but my son, Zach, is transgender. He told us nonchalantly at bedtime 3 years ago, because he's only 11, so far his transition has been strictly social. New pronouns, new clothes, new haircut, new name. With few exceptions, it's been as nothing burger as it sounds. Yeah, it's just, that's nothing.
No.
That's a nothing. Big,
basically
big
nothing.
Nothing burger sandwich.
Well, if it's nothing, then why do it?
Exactly. By the time he has his first appointment at the Sick Kids Gender Clinic, just the name alone, Sick Kids Gender Clinic, in August of 2024, he'll be 12 and a half.
Are they making kids sick?
Yeah. He'll be 12 and a half, and we'll have been on the wait list for 18 months. If 4 years into his transition, he chooses gender-affirming medication, it will not be an impulsive decision. By the way, it's the opposite of gender affirming. Because like, to affirm his gender would be to affirm the fact that he's male.
Mm-hmm.
It's gender changing medication.
Yeah.
It's literally, they're denying, giving you hormones to change your gender.
Which is gender affirming.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
And then here we go. She describes herself as an urban liberal, agnostic Canadian
with purple hair.
The hardest part of parenting a trans kid has been watching the anti-trans ground swell, particularly in the UK and the US. As of this month, 22 US states have enacted laws or policies banning gender-affirming care for youth up to age 18, despite evidence that this care does more good than harm. No, it doesn't. It absolutely does not. The evidence that these people use is complete garbage. And in fact, there's more evidence coming out that it does way more harm than good.
Yeah, as you look further out into the future, all the studies they cite only followed a kid for 12 months.
Exactly.
During the transition, of course, when you're telling them they're right.
And they're getting all this attention.
Yeah.
You know, but then when all that fades away.
Like, they don't want to give addicts heroin despite evidence that the addicts are much happier
better
after they get the heroin. How long did you follow them? About 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So happy.
Before, they were screaming and shaking, you know, and they said they wanted to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we gave him a little heroin, and look, he's asleep on the floor.
Clear evidence. It does more good than
harm.
With
his Tempur-Pedic pillar I gave him, you know. Very comfortable.
Now we're going to get in the weeds on some topics here.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember. Bailey's asking if there's a Swedish study. They followed trans kids for decades, and most still want to kill themselves or do end up killing themselves. I don't remember if that's a Swedish study, but there are. I have read those studies. There's also several other examples of what you're talking about there when they first started doing sex changes back in like the 60s and 70s, followed these kids for a long time. And, yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. And these people still, they do have an identity crisis, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
And we've talked about this. The reason why we say good morning, liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning is because if you don't have a purpose or meaning in your life, then you do have an identity crisis.
Mm.
Okay. Now that could take shape in the form of gender or whatever, but you feel lost, right? And ultimately, as a Christian, I think it's because a lack of direction of morals from, let's say, God, or even if you want to take religion out of it, a higher power, some type of higher aim. Okay, so there's no doubt that these kids feel lost. I can validate those feelings, but it doesn't mean that we're going to fix them by changing their, because that's not what the actual problem is.
But it's not
a symptom.
There's not any other problems that you go to a psychiatrist for or whoever. Like, you go there with all these problems and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, you should just go full on into those problems. Just accept it. Like, there's nothing you go to and there's something wrong and they're like, nothing wrong. Let's just go full on into it, man. Let's just double, triple down on that.
Yeah.
Cut it off. Who cares?
Right.
You know, that's what's wrong.
Yeah.
No one does that for anything.
You'll never have kids, by the way, the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But you should be able to make the decision whether or not you want to be infertile when you're 12. It's disgusting. And I do agree. Yeah, Bailey, it is demonic. In my opinion, it's absolutely, completely, 100% pure, malevolent evil.
And it's child abuse.
Yes, so. Absolutely.
All right, we're about to talk about Bidenomics, a little bit on this UAW strike and the fuzzy Bernie BS math going on behind that. Once again, find Good Morning Liberty on your favorite podcast app, a new episode every single day of the week. This is Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. More auto workers could be on the picket lines as early as Friday.
United Auto Workers President Sean Fain has set a new strike deadline. If significant progress isn't achieved in contract talks by noon on Friday, September 22nd, They will mobilize additional local unions to join the stand-up strike.
Ukrainian President Zelensky says Russia has no right to hold nuclear weapons. He addressed the UN General Assembly earlier today as his country continues to fight against Russia's invasion. Zelensky said Russia should have been forced to give up its nuclear weapons in the 1990s. Gas prices are at a 2023 high. AAA said Monday that the national average for regular gas is $3.88 per gallon. That's a 5-cent jump over the past week as nearly a dozen states now average $4 a gallon or higher. I'm Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Extend your life with Extendo Bite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice, my mother was down with some sort of fever, people at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Well, what's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? We're back here to the fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. We're coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. Big thanks to the guys over at Free Talk Live for having us on Tuesday nights. We've been going through some of the dumbest tweets from last week, like we do every Friday on an episode called Dumb Bleep of the Week on our podcast, Good Morning Liberty. So if you like what you're hearing from Charlie and I, then you can actually find us every day of the week, goodmorningliberty.us, bernielies.com, or just search Good Morning Liberty on your favorite podcast app. All right, we talked about some of the cultural issues. We talked about stuff with Biden already. We're going to talk some more Bidenomics. They're calling something MAGAnomics now. It's pretty interesting. I don't think it's going to work. People know that we are in a much worse economy than we otherwise could have been. Let's see. Let's talk about kids again here for a second, because people have been really upset this week about the expanded child tax credit expiring. And since this expired because of the evil, hateful, child-hating Republicans, since this happened, child poverty has more than doubled year over year, because used to they were getting money from the government, or the parents were getting money from the government per child, and now they're not getting that extra money per child anymore. And so now all these kids are now living in poverty. You can see, like, this post from Robert Reich is a good example. The expanded child tax credit cut child poverty by nearly half. Sinema, Manchin, and the GOP let it expire, and child poverty spiked. In the richest country in the world, it is inexcusable that millions of our children are living in poverty. This is a policy choice. And this is on a post that showed the graph and showed childhood poverty spiking year over year. And I just wanted to make the point that this was a fake decrease in child poverty because we were taking money from the parents and then giving it back to them and calling it less poverty afterwards. Okay, that's the way that we fix the poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, a lot of people fall for this. But I don't know if these people remember, but I remember inflation has been something we've been dealing with over the last few years.
Well, that's just greed.
Yeah, just greed. Here's how much inflation is costing Americans each month. This is in 2022. Now, the child tax credit was, I believe it was $300 per child, I believe. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong.
Well,
was it more than that?
There were a couple different ones. I think the first one, you got like an extra $1,000 when everybody got their $1,200 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the next one was $500.
Bailey said it depended on how old they were. And then there was a cap on it also. I don't remember what the cap was exactly, but something like that. Well, in 2022, they said inflation was costing the typical U.S. household an additional $300 per month. And it shows little sign of slowing anytime soon. And then we get another one here. Inflation means family, this is more recent, families are spending $709 more per month than 2 years ago. Okay?
That was a mortgage like 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. That's just inflation.
Yeah.
And so what happened here was they printed a bunch of money or they borrowed a bunch of money. They gave it to a bunch of people. We got our STEMI checks and then we got the expanded child tax credit. And while that made people feel good because they were getting this money, what then happened was a bunch of inflation in the economy that is now sucking back out of the economy exactly the extra money that was put into it because that's how economics works.
And then some.
Yes. And just a little bit more because the government's taken their cut along the way also. So the moral of the story is, you print this fake money, you put it in the economy, it still gets taken back out.
It goes back to the old adage of if it sounds too good to be true. It probably is.
So I don't think socialists believe that.
It's like if you could just give people money and it solves all the problems, that sounds too good to be true.
This is what people believe. Now, this is a comment that I made on AOC's post. They were talking. She said every time a government shutdown in the last 30 years occurred was when Republicans had control of the House. And I said, oh, I should start voting Republican.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. She said the last time it happened, it drove people to food pantries and forced. Now, this AOC says this is very important for everyone. AOC is very worried about this amount of money. It drove people to food pantries and forced an $8 billion hit to the economy. This shutdown, an $8 billion hit to the economy. And I said, you mean 11 hours of government expenses? And this person responded with, except this was out of citizens' paychecks and not out of government funds. So, yeah, it was a big deal. So this person's response to me saying how much money the government spent was that, no, this $8 billion she's talking about, that came from people's paychecks, not from government expenses.
Government funds. Where does the government get their funds?
I don't know. I asked the person, and they haven't responded.
Oh, Dusty.
Gosh.
Dusty. Hmm. That was dumb.
Dumb around.
That was actually really dumb.
Child tax credits.
You know, and maybe he's ignorant. I don't know. He's just ignorant.
We're going to get this. We're going to keep economics going here for a bit. This was a late entry today, I believe, from Costco, potentially.
Maganomics.
What is Maganomics?
Maganomics.
This post from the White House.
Is a noun. Let's talk about it. Different from Bidenomics. This is Maganomics.
This is much worse.
Maganomics. It's a noun. Is an economic plan that does three things. God, this is going to be ridiculous. Cuts taxes even more for the wealthy and big corporation. Cuts Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Raises costs for families by gutting investments in the middle class. It's more extreme than anything America has ever seen before.
Broad view, real quick. I want to talk about the fact that the White House, they've been doing this a lot. They put out a word, and then they define it like it's in a dictionary. And I know it's cute and all that. Maybe it's cute. Or maybe we're seeing the state literally create its own definitions for words.
Propaganda.
And put them out there as the real definition
for words. Literal propaganda. Yeah.
It's kind of ironic that that's what we're starting to see. But anyway, let's see. Tax cuts. Okay, cool.
For the rich.
Cutting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. All right, cool. But then it's going to raise costs for families by gutting investments in the middle class. Hold on. I got a thing here saying that families are spending over $700 more per month because of inflation. Okay. But you know what's going to cost families money is if we don't tax the families and then the government decides where to invest it and give it back to families after they take a cut. That's what's really going to hurt families a lot.
Yeah.
All right. So this.
Well, but you know, the tax cuts to the wealthy, that's what partially causes inflation.
Of course.
Yeah.
We're going to continue.
Because they were saving money on their taxes now, these big corporations, they decided to raise their prices.
That's economics, folks. Supply and tax cuts.
God.
Another post here from the White House. We're still
It's hard to even talk to these people. You know?
I know.
Because, you know, like, when they talk to you, they're like, oh, you don't even have a degree, you know, whatever. And you're like, well, you haven't even read an economics book.
No.
You know? And it's difficult to even have a conversation when they're not even... They're not even aware of what economics actually is.
I have a hard time talking with anyone who hasn't read basic economics 12 times like I have.
So this show every day is very difficult for you?
Yeah. The White House also posted there are about 1,000 billionaires in America. On average, they pay 8% in federal income taxes on a yearly basis. That's a lower rate than teachers and firefighters. And that's why President Biden continues to call for a 25% minimum tax on billionaires. Okay, so there's a problem here. The problem is they are talking about 8% in federal income taxes on a yearly basis. Income taxes. A 25% minimum tax, how are they going to do that? Wealth. They're going to tax wealth is what they're going to do. Or even unearned wealth.
Because almost all of these billionaires...
Unrealized, sorry.
Almost all these billionaires have their money in investments.
Mm.
Whether that's the stock market, real estate, whatever the case may be, in their companies. That's the only reason why they're worth. They don't have $1 billion in a bank account.
Yeah.
They don't know what... Their company isn't paying them $1 billion in income that gets direct deposited into their bank account.
It's not how it works.
Yeah.
The CEOs of these corporations like GM, I believe $29 million is the salary for their GM. They don't cut her a $29 million check. That's almost all. It's just the value of stock options that they gave her. And it doesn't even mean that she cashed them out. It just means that that's what they're counting as the value right now.
I don't think Jeff Bezos ever raised his $75,000 a year salary.
Yeah.
That he made as CEO of Amazon. His income from Amazon was like 75 grand a year.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes we're faced with a crossroads in life and we don't really know which path to take. Maybe you're thinking about a career change or feeling like your relationship needs a little love. Whatever it is, therapy can help you map out your future and trust yourself to find a way forward. I've done therapy in the past, and honestly, it helped me quite a lot. Changed my life, made me who I am today. And our co-host, Charlie, he's still using BetterHelp to this day. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. And like what someone just said in the group here, the government will force you to sell off 25% of your wealth each year. You know what kicked off this is not the reason, but it's so weird. Elon Musk timed that big stock market drop almost perfectly that we had last year. Because the top of that is where he sold his stocks to pay his taxes and to do some other stuff. But that's where it really, and if we knew that all of these corporations that the owners had to pay a 25% tax at the end of the year, it would destroy the stock market, because you'd know the only thing they can do to pay it is sell stock. And I get that maybe you're hurting those people, but what about all the other millions of people that have their retirements invested in those companies? What about the pensions who guarantee fake money to their, to the people that are members that get those pensions in life that have to get 8-10% returns to get this money back? That's going to hurt them as well and hurt all the pension system and all that. Look at this stat here. Half of taxpayers pay 97% of federal income taxes. You look at the top 1% share of total income taxes paid is 40.1% of total income taxes are paid by people in the top 1%. They get 20.9% share of the total gross income, and they pay 40.1% of the share of the total taxes. Mm. So there you go. One more thing.
The top 5% pay 60% in taxes.
Biden's over here acting like we got a tax problem. We got to have a 25% minimum tax on billionaires. We'll kick it back to last week where we told everyone that we are currently at all-time highs, essentially, for the amount of taxes that the government is taking from the economy. We're currently at 19.2% of our GDP gets taken back out of the economy in taxes, which has only been beaten two other times in history, in the year 2001 and in the year 1944, I believe, was the high, maybe 46. I can't remember what the number was. Other than that, we are currently getting more in taxes out of our economy than we have ever gotten other than those couple of years, okay? I think it was 4 years total that have been over the 19% threshold. We don't have a tax problem right now. We're getting all these taxes.
It's a spending problem, in case you didn't get what Nate was implying there.
Bidenomics. Oh, gosh. Okay, this one. This is a fresh one. Fresh one right here. Justin Trudeau is concerned, like what we've been talking about. People are very concerned about prices. Families are having a hard time. Mm. Okay? It's not the government's fault. They're trying to help, but they can't get any corporations to go along with them, of course. And so Justin Trudeau wants to fix the food pricing problem, and he's got an idea.
It's not okay that our biggest grocery stores are making record profits while Canadians are struggling to put food on the table. So Minister Champagne will be calling on the heads of large grocers to come to Ottawa with a plan to address the rising cost of food. And we expect to hear from them by Thanksgiving on what their plan is to stabilize prices. And it...
by Thanksgiving.
First off, before we get to some of the dumber part, he's like, we want to hear the grocery store's plan on how they are going to stabilize food prices.
It's their fault.
It's their fault, okay? Not ours.
And let me be very clear. If
when someone says very clear, they're not going to, they're about to lie to you.
Well, I hate right that afterwards. The rest of it was all muddled. You know, yeah. Now we can finally.
Mm-hmm. Now it's clear.
Clear, yeah. Clear. I can see clearly now that rain is gone. You know?
We'll get us very clear.
And let me be very clear. If their plan doesn't provide real relief for the middle class and people working hard to join it, then we will take further action, and we are not ruling anything out, including tax measures.
Is that a threat?
No.
Is that a threat?
I think it is a threat. But I just want to let me be clear with everyone. Food prices are too high, okay? And if the grocery stores don't lower their prices, Trudeau is going to start taxing the grocery stores. Boom. Prices down. Now, that's how we're going to fix food prices. Yep. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Because the grocery stores are just going to pay that tax.
They're just going to pay it.
Out of the goodness of their own pockets.
Out of their record profits. So they're not going to increase any of their prices at all. But the tax they take, I bet they're going to give some of it back to people to pay for food. And see, this is what they'll do. They'll put a tax on the grocery store. The grocery store is going to raise their prices equal with the tax. that they get charged. And then the government is going to take half of it and give it back to families to pay for food. And they're going to burn the other half, pocket some of it, give it to some of their other friends and donors and stuff like that. And families are going to get half of it. And then they're not going to have enough money to pay for what the increase in the food prices was because of the food tax.
But they'll be all excited to get that government check, to get that grocery stimmy.
When you hear these grocery stimmy, when you hear people start talking about the record profits, I get it. They're making profits. And what they would disagree with us on, Charlie, is what we said is they're going to tax the grocery stores. The grocery stores are just going to raise their prices. People think that when you tax them, it's going to come out of the profits that they're making right now and that nothing's going to happen with the prices that they're charging. But what happens in a market is that they raise the prices.
Also, let me ask the question, though. Why are grocery stores making record profit? Does anybody ask the question why?
I don't know if
they're
talking.
Do you think it's because the governments around the world shut down restaurants and you weren't allowed to go out to eat?
Now, restaurants are having a hard time still.
So what was it like? I think like 25% of restaurants in the United States literally closed their doors forever.
Yeah.
Because of that. Now, if you can't go out to eat and have someone cook for you, but you still need to eat, where is that money going to go instead of the restaurant?
Yeah, but
it's obviously going to go to the grocery store.
But the grocery store is just price gouging.
Of course. Yep.
And so what you inevitably get,
there's hurricanes up in Canada right now.
What you inevitably get to in this type of economic system, and Trudeau knows all about this. You know, he's been to Cuba before. What you inevitably get to is they try to outlaw profits. They set a cap on profits, or they start to set caps on the prices for the groceries, which causes, of course, shortages, or they start to outlaw profits or certain amounts of profits, which then knocks people out of that market because they need a certain profit margin. See, people who invest and they make businesses, they don't just have to do this. They're like, well, okay, I have an 8% profit cap on grocery business. Well, I can make 10% over here doing this. I'm just going to not do this. I'm going to go make 10% over here.
Mm.
And so they take their money elsewhere and start that business. And so then you have less grocery stores, which is less supply, which causes prices to go up still. And then they put price caps on, and you can't get the products for the shelves, and then you have shortages. Okay? But I don't know. It just runs in this guy's blood.
Tactical Warlock said something funny in here. Fed Haters Club. Go to joingmail.com. He said, last time I went to the grocery store, I saw someone in the back counting hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's what they're doing, by the way.
Yeah.
And people bring up other good points. Like, it's multifaceted, right? So, like, inflation, what does inflation really mean? Well, that is the purchasing, the value of your purchasing power coupons has gone down, right? So, and then, even if grocery stores aren't raising their prices, manufacturers are changing. Like your box of cereal that used to be 14 ounces is now only like 10 or 11 ounces.
Shrinkflation.
So, exactly. So, or, you know, there's 10 less chips per bag now than there used to be. And so people are running out of food quicker. You don't really realize some of those things. It may cost the same for that bag, but there's less product in it.
You really have to look at like the per ounce prices, you know, to see how much stuff
how
is
much
really going up.
How much product are you actually getting for the value of your coupons, your fake coupons? And that keeps going. So it's multifaceted, but it all stems from government spending. And we've talked about this in the economics so often on this podcast, and we like gotten in fights with other modern monetary dumb theorists on TikTok. Even if they're sound good or whatever, it's like we keep saying this over and over and over and over again. And what happens is libertarians are usually right about this every single time. We see it play out and people still can't wrap their minds around why these things are actually happening. No one wants to ask the question to get down to the root cause. And they believe people like Trudeau and others that give these answers that have no data backing whatsoever. They just give answers like, well, it's corporate greed and record profits, and they're just raising profits. They're price gouging. They're doing all these things. No. No, we're spending too much money that we don't have. And this is a natural consequence of that over and over and over and over and over again. And I get frustrated because I'm like, we need to do a better job of getting this into people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't do a very good job of...
Well, we do a good job.
Yeah. Well, we do a great job. I'm not saying we don't. We're one of the best
mm-hmm.
Liberty podcasts there are out there. I'm saying, but we don't do a good enough job of making this easy for people to digest, I think. And we need to figure out a better way to make it more fun, like saying corporate greed.
It's just, it's,
you know, government greed. I don't know. We need a way to make it more easily digestible for people to be like, when they see these things happening, the first thought that should come to their mind is the government spending too much money.
We need to talk like they do in simple. See, a problem I have, I have this problem on Twitter all the time. The best, say, tweets or posts are things that are very binary. It's like, if you're not this, you're this, or like, this means this. And the problem is the world is way more nuanced than that. Like, I have a hard time writing a super simple post where like, this is this or it's this,
mm-hmm.
because normally it's not. It's like, it would be a book. It would take a book to actually explain this problem to people. But when you're on the left, or even some people on the right, like, they're really good at just boiling something down to a really simple term, oversimplifying things. And maybe it's like my OCD mind, my partial spectrum mind. It's like,
we need to try to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah.
You know, use a similar rhetoric.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just a thought.
Well, maybe anyway. some people in the group can help us with this new mission.
Anyway, I'll help Charlie Jordan Peterson out here. Trudeau's dumb.
Yeah. He is.
Oh, we can critique him.
He's dumb.
You can't in Canada anymore, but we can.
We'll do it.
Did you see Jordan Peterson's mugshot? I think I said it to you.
Yeah.
That was really funny. Really funny.
That was good. All right. If you enjoyed what you heard, once again, you can find Charlie and I, Good Morning Liberty, every single day of the week on your favorite podcast app. You can leave a rating and review as well. That helps feed the algorithms. You can also find this episode on the Free Talk Live podcast on whatever app you get your podcasts. Search for anylies.com. For our show, our merch store, which is GodHatesFeds.com, and join the Fed Haters Club, join@gmail.com. We'll see you next Tuesday night.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.